Hopefully, I forgot to actually invite you, but tonight after the service, you're very welcome to come for a cup of coffee in the hall next door. And as you go into the hall, there's a notice board through the double doors just on your right-hand side as you're going into the main hall. And I'm glad she's not here. Alison's not here tonight. Alison Gill does that, and she does it really, really well. The one at Christmas was excellent. All the ones that she's done all year are really, really good. But she's got one there at the minute, and it's been up for the last number of weeks. And what it has is, if you take a look at it, it's got three crosses, two smaller crosses and one bigger cross in the middle. And it says, you can't eliminate the middleman. You can't eliminate the middleman. And that started my head thinking when she put it up. I was looking at it one night at youth club. And it sort of brought to my memory a fellow who told me one time he was a middleman. And it was a guy, he's from Newton Arts, and he went out on a mission trip to India with us. And we had an afternoon off. We were staying in Chennai in the south of India. And this guy headed off to do a bit of scouting out round Chennai. And I said, I'll go with you. And he had this sheet with him. It was a recipe of some sort of health supplement type thing. And he would take it into different factories and different places that made things like that. And he would give it to them and ask how much it would cost to price up so many tablets of that certain size. And he said the markup on these is huge. He says, and they get them sent back to the UK, and then they would distribute them amongst sellers. We're at dinner that night, and I said, what exactly do you mean you're a middleman? This guy had worked in the civil service and came out early at about 50. I said, well, what does that mean? He said, I'll give you an example. He said, a fellow down the road from me used to make hurley sticks. And he said he had real problems finding ash to make the hurley sticks out of. And he said, I was in Russia on business doing something else, and there was a down the road a bit. He said there was this farm of ash trees, big forest. And he said I went in and got samples, priced up the stuff, got the contact details of the guy, and came home and gave them to the fella. He came back looking for ash then from me. I organised a container to come to him from Russia. He never got the details of the boy he was buying it from. So every container of stuff that ever came in, he says, was worth a good few £1,000 to me, because I got a cut of every single container. Every time he put the order in, it came back through me. That's a middleman. So that was all right until the birth of the internet. Then what happened was, with a click of a few little buttons, you can find the boys all over Europe and Africa and different other places that are willing to supply you and want to supply you. And then what happens is the middleman gets cut out. They go directly to the supplier. They get what it is that they need, and you're up money because you've got taken the middleman's money. You can sell the stuff cheaper, so you're going to be able to sell it better to more of an audience, and everybody's happy except the middleman. The middleman's out of money. But when I was thinking about that business model of what he was telling me about, it brought to my mind that it could never apply spiritually to us. When you look at the business model transferred to what happens to us spiritually, and you think about it in Good Friday, what happens is we're at the very end of that supply line. And there's something that every one of us need. And it's a thing called righteousness. We need it for when we die. We need it to be able to get into heaven. And yet the Bible says there is no one righteous, not even one. Isaiah said it, and then Paul repeated it again in the book of Romans. There is no one righteous, not even one. There's no business in this world that can supply you with righteousness. There's no other human being who can give you some of theirs, because they don't have any. There's no church that's able to give it to you. No organization that's able to put you in contact with it. What we needed was for someone else to come in and do it for us. We've tried many ways of manufacturing righteousness. We've set up our own personal factories with our good works and our kind deeds, helping our neighbors, being decent and being upright, trying to manufacture this righteousness that's required. And yet, what the Bible says is that all of our righteous acts are as filthy rags. That's the sum total of what God says in Isaiah. All of our righteous acts are as filthy rags. Therefore, God has to become the supplier and the middleman. He has to be both. Listen to what Paul says in Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. So here we are, we're helplessly lost without a supply of this thing called righteousness. God comes down and steps in to supply that by sending his own son, the middleman. to die on a cross, to take the punishment for your sin and for mine. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says in his book, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Good Friday is what we think about. It's all about the actions of this middleman. The one who stepped in to provide for you the most righteous commodity that any person can have. The most expensive thing that anybody can have, which is righteousness. And the way we access that is by faith. The Bible says that Abraham was credited righteousness because of his faith. And as we come and we put our trust in God, that is what he credits to us. Listen to what Romans 4:23 says. The words, "it was credited to him," speaking about Abraham, were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered over to death for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification. The death of Jesus Christ that we remember tonight took place in order to pay for your sin and in order to pay for mine. And so as we start to look into Easter and we gaze upon it, there is only one case that I can think of where you can never, ever, ever cut out or eliminate the middleman. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that Jesus became our middleman. Yes, he died in between those crosses, surrounded by thieves. Yet he was there as an innocent. He was there taking the punishment for our sins in order that he could credit to us righteousness. Father, as we look at Good Friday, it's horrendous. Nobody in their right mind looking at that would be able to figure out that this was part of your plan. Lord, seeing your own son beaten and abused, seeing him tormented and mocked, spat upon, stripped naked and nailed to a cross, a crown of thorns plunged into his head. And yet as he hung there and as he suffered, he did that so he could give to us the most valuable commodity known to anyone, Lord, his righteousness, so that we could be ready for the day of our death and that we could be ready for the day of God's judgment. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.